And it is 12:30 here at KPTZ in Port Townsend, and time once again for our weekly Thursday get-together with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. And I'd like to welcome my co-host, John. Hey, good to see you.
Hey, Taylor. Great to be co-hosting with you yet again. Happy Thursday.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to be here. And we have a guest today.
We do. I get so much more exciting when I add people to the party here because I think it's always great to hear from our partners and city staff and leaders. So today we are lucky to have Carrie Height, our Director of Parks and Recreation Strategy, joining us. Carrie's a master of many different things, but we are prepared to talk a little bit about the engagement process around the golf course, if that is of interest.
That is of interest. We've had Carrie on the show before, right? Didn't we?
Indeed. Welcome, yeah. Carrie. Welcome back, Carrie.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. Hi, Taylor.
Hi, Carrie.
I have been here before, but I'm back again.
You were here live in the studio, as I recall.
I was.
That's right. Yeah, but you look different on Zoom.
Live in the studio, I think with the window open.
That's how we roll here at the station. Yeah, we keep the air circulating. Yep, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Okay.
I see Sage in the background as well, so I'd like to welcome your deputy co-host, I think we could say. Is that fair?
Well, yeah, and actually we have Jim Burke is in the studio today too, because he is going to be filling in while I'm gone. And I'll talk about that a little later on because I'm going to be gone for 9 weeks total. And I'm wearing my Dark Side of the Loon t-shirt.
Very nice. So for listeners, I can verify that Taylor speaketh the truth. Yeah. I'm also going to just let folks know, I'm going to, anybody who wants to join the Zoom call, I'm just going to admit into the room. And clearly we want to make sure we all kind of take turns here, but I'm just going to admit folks as they arrive.
Also, we should let people know that I'm keeping an eye on DJ at kptz.org. And if you want to email us, if you have a question, I'd be happy to read it out and we'll see what we can do with it.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So away we go.
Yeah. What's going on at the golf course?
That's a great question, Taylor. I think quite a lot. Maybe Carrie can clue us in here.
Maybe I should. Yeah. I kind of wanted to, you know, just to refresh people's memory where we were. We had a lot of golf course discussion. Was it just a year ago or was it 2 years ago?
It was actually more like a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Right. And we extended the is it a lease with the franchisee to allow him to operate the golf course. But it was a fairly short period, as I recall.
Yeah. Just briefly, because I know Carrie's itching to kind of chime in here. It was not necessarily, it technically wasn't a lease extension. It was a new lease.
New lease.
And we went out with an RFP, and it happened to be that the current or the previous lessor.
That's right. Okay. That's an important distinction. So we did. Yeah, there was an RFP. Everybody got to contribute. We got.
Yeah. So thing, you know, we wanted to update things like some of the reporting requirements, and we just tightened up the lease a little bit.
Yeah.
And you're right. It was done for a period of 3 years, with also another request by council as part of that decision, which was to explore alternative uses for the golf course. And that 3 years would buy us continuity for the current use and not make a hasty, sudden decision without some public process to back up whether or not there should be a transition of use or augmentation of use. And that's really what we're about to dive into now.
I was going to say, though, that should bring us right up to where Carrie is, because I'm assuming we're looking at what else we could do or what we will do. Carrie.
Yes, we are. I actually just launched a community engagement strategy with the council a few weeks ago. And that strategy is really to seat a stakeholders group and to have four different phases of community engagement that span September through April or May next year. We really want to culminate the process to start a transition, because the end of the lease is at the end of 2023. So just to be fair to the lessor, we need to tell the lessor, hey, you're good to go. Keep operating if you want to operate, or no, we're going to transition a little bit this way and do some other things with the golf course. And so we wanted to give that lessor ample time, and we're trying to culminate this community discussion and a council decision in April or May timeframe of 2023.
So we're really standing at the threshold of a community engagement effort.
Yes.
On this subject. Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
And what form is that going to take?
Yeah, the forum, that's going to take some open houses, virtual open houses. We're up at the market once a month talking about the golf course, and we're actually including Mountain View Campus Commons, which is where the KPTC building right now is. And we're including that because we think there might be, as we start to plan as a community, we think there might be some complementary uses, and it's a good conversation to have hand in hand and not separate. It needs to be together so that if there's some ideas that come up from the community, we can see which campus can accommodate particular ideas better. And so the stakeholders group, all of the tenants of Mountain View are included in that, as well as some people from the community, from the golf club, from the prairie that is part of the golf course. And we have about 15 to 18 stakeholders. They're going to be our eyes and ears on the street. We're going to be doing some intercept events with people in the community at different events around town. We're going to start out by talking about guiding principles for this process. So we really want to establish some principles so that we can all, as a community, talk according to the principles and discuss what we think are going to be great ideas for this golf course and for the Mountain View Commons. And if that is to continue golf use, that's to continue golf use. But we're opening that discussion as per what the council had adopted a year and a half ago.
Yeah, and Taylor, I mean, Carrie's been abundantly clear here, but just to make it underscore what she's saying, you know, this is not a this is not currently a decision on what should it be. We're not making a decision at council or otherwise. We set just a week or two ago at City Council the parameters for that conversation. So for us to actually know what to do, we need to involve quite a lot of people with different perspectives and be comfortable holding the uncertainty of, well, what could this be? Otherwise, we just keep doing the same thing over and over and not change. And I know change is challenging, and I'll be the first to admit it's challenging for me too. But I do think not having a conversation about what's possible and involving everybody in that conversation really constrains what's possible in this community. And we sort of owe it to everybody who lives here and actually even outside the community to be part of that visioning and change-making process.
So you don't have a secret plan here?
No
secret plan. It's all open, very, very open dialogue. And we're excited to get everybody in the community engaged in the process.
Because I know, like, for instance, I hate to rail against social media on such a family-friendly, lovely show and station as this, but, you know, it's amazing what people think's going on, which...
Right. No, we've been down this route before.
It doesn't always match with reality. And right. So we just want to be completely clear. Like, there are no... People might have ideas. They've expressed them to me. We have no agenda here except to hear from the community in a fair and transparent way.
Yeah. So, for instance, this would be something I'm seeing Sage is checking the dog park through the weather window there. So, if I'm interested, is the dog park in scope here? Is this? I mean,
yes, it is. Do we have the dog park, the pickleball courts, the pool, the portables that are sitting on campus there at Mountain View, the actual use of the Mountain View building, the golf course, the prairie, the lagoon that's at the north of the golf course.
I was about to come riding to the defense of the prairie. So if for instance, I'm a great lover in a prehistoric prairie remnant, I guess it is kind of man-made, but long, long ago, then I should take part in this discussion and say, you know what I really like about the golf course is I like to go to the prairie when it's in bloom.
Yes, because, absolutely. Because we would love to hear your voice.
If I don't come and tell you that, then you don't know that you do know, but it's important to hear that, not just internally, but externally too.
Yes, it is.
So,
And Sage might, I mean, you might have to translate for Sage's interests here. I don't think we have interspecies engagement, but, you know, we'll trust the owners to be able to represent their desires and needs too.
Yeah.
So prerequisite, if you are a human and you ever have used or would use that area of town, you should be involved.
Okay. So that's a pretty broad net you're reaching out there.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay. And Well, that's good. And now when you collect this information, you know, it's, you know, let's say I go down to the farmer's market on Saturday, which right. I don't do because I don't. And but then I engage. I happen to see that Carrie's down there and she's having a discussion. And I say, hey, Carrie, what really matters to me is the pond. I don't want, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want debris being pushed into the pond, for example.
Right.
Do you then write that down on your list? I talked to somebody today who said, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to.
I have a long list going, Taylor, and that's not the only way people can be heard. We're going to have some open houses and virtual open houses. Our park board actually wants to get out in the community and be kind of eyes and ears of collecting public input as well. And so we'll put them to work. And
so the the Citizens Advisory Board.
Citizens Advisory Board, Parks, Recreation, Trees and Trails Advisory Board. Yep.
So they're going to be involved in this too, as feet on the ground collecting this data.
Absolutely.
And maybe we can talk too. I mean, you know, Carrie's thoughtfully. I mean, this, you know, if I can say, isn't her first rodeo in these kinds of things. Yeah. But you know, has thoughtfully sketched this out as part of the materials that were part of a council decision on moving this forward and workshopping the engagement process. You know, of course, anybody who wants to come and speak to us, both on this broadcast or otherwise, we will listen to perspectives. But, you know, we're going to have to filter much like a funnel here from big picture and kind of move through a number of phases that are well spelled out, mm-hmm. where each phase has kind of a, you know, big basic concepts and then kind of hones down into some specifics. And so feedback will always be taken. But people will be able to track progress as that's kind of driven by a community dialogue.
So this isn't a come once. I'm suddenly, you said open house. So this might be the sort of thing where I'm going to want to, you know, in December, head on down to the Cotton Building. And in the Cotton Building, I'm gonna see some city council people standing around, some Port Townsend city staff people standing around, some Parks Advisory Boards people, you know, the usual suspects, you know them. And I'm going to see some flip charts on, you know, with some drawings on them saying, you know, option one, option two.
Yeah. It isn't a come one, Taylor. It's a come every couple months, because as John just said, we're going to go through many phases of engagement. And so we're going to start really big and start to narrow down concepts and see what things look like. And if we get down to some concepts of what things look like, and then people come once at the end of the planning process and have different ideas, those probably will not be incorporated into what we're already working
on. So this is start early and stay engaged.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a good motto there, Taylor. Start early, stay engaged.
I got a question via email or a question. Yeah, question. And the question is, does the golf course have a restriction on its use based on the wishes of the person who left it to the community? And there's
that's a good question. I've been looking at the deeds, and we do have a deed restriction on the property, and it's to be used for municipal purposes. So, for example, I don't think we could sell some of the property and use it for private use. I think it really that deed restriction really limits our use to municipal purposes. John, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
No, I think that's true. I mean, it was quite a long time ago that deed restriction was written down.
Yeah, but those have a nasty habit of still being in force.
Yeah, it's true. But I think maybe the spirit of that, I mean, aside from, because there's a lot of technical detail about that and what it means, you know, I think there's like a, not to blur my eyes too much here, but kind of a spirit of this. And I think it's the same spirit of why we want to have this conversation is, you know, we are really lucky to have a number of natural assets in our community, in the landscape, including this 58 acres of municipally owned and, you know, municipally purposed land. What's the best use to the most number of people over the long term? I mean, that's fundamentally the question. And I think that, to me, lines up nicely with municipal purposes. You know, this isn't one person's dream or one small group's dream. This is like, what's best? And if we decide it's currently what we're doing, great, let's keep doing what we're doing. But we got to call the question. So I'm not too flummoxed by that municipal purposes restriction.
Would we be considering, you know, multiple use things? I know that the idea of floating a slightly smaller golf course has been floated, and then the remaining land could be used in some different way.
Yeah, I almost want to say anything's on the table, and that's probably sort of true. But there are probably some things that we probably don't want to put on the table.
I'm sure I can think of something.
Yeah, there's like, you know, go to the bonkers crazy stuff. We want to avoid that. But you know, there. I think your question's a good one, because you know the tough conversations are about how to creatively line up possibly a number of uses that might be compatible, but we have to do the hard thinking. And that's part of what might draw people to those workshops and some of the engagement is we want to give people the opportunity to almost physically touch the puzzle pieces so they can move things around and dream how to make it all work together.
Okay. Follow on question from that was from Jim Burke. I want to say thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Jim is just to my left. You can't see him. The follow on question is, you mentioned stakeholders and the stakeholder committee. Can anyone join the stakeholder committee? How are we choosing those?
Yeah, that's a good question. We have a stakeholder group of about 15 to 18 people. They're representatives of the land that we're going to be planning. And we've kept it to representatives and or people that have a larger vision for the community that can represent different genders, different ages, different ethnicities, different. We just want a good diversity of people represented on the stakeholder group so that they can have a larger discussion with the community. And so right now, I will tell you, it is full. We don't want any more than 15 to 18 people. Still waiting to hear back from a few people I've reached out to, but we just don't want too many people on that group. It will get too unwieldy and too hard to plan. The stakeholder group really will be charged with being eyes and ears on the ground and showing up to all the meetings and helping to analyze and decipher what the community is saying as we start to put those big puzzle pieces on the table, okay, as John referred to.
I suddenly had a thought. You know, these meetings tend to come up and come and happen and then pass on, and then it seems like, because I'm not always as on top of things as I should be, then I find out about them. Will you be sending these into the KPTC calendar, for example, so we can get them?
We
there?
Will. Yes,
thank
we
you.
Will.
Okay, because that then at least I'll know.
Yeah, help us to. I mean, honestly, we do want as many people who want to be involved. And of course, like I said, there are parameters there. We want to, you know, it's a community, you know, visioning process. So it's not everyone's going to get exactly what they want. But better to start with lots of raw materials, some creative ideas, some good energy, kind of a constructive energy instead of a destructive energy. And so, you know, come one, come all.
Yeah. Now, what I want to ask is, you know, in a sort of a prime the pump kind of way, is, yeah, you know, what are some ideas that we might consider? But I'm actually kind of hesitant to ask that question, because the minute we float an idea, then it's a stake in the ground. And it sounds like you don't really want to put those stakes in the ground yet.
Yeah, no, I think we're all ears and we want to hear from the community. We don't want to bring our preconceived ideas. I mean, I've heard some ideas from the community, but I would rather keep it an open slate. Come one, come all, as John said, and bring any and all ideas.
I mean, honestly, Taylor, I get that question pretty much repeatedly every day from people who say, but really, what's the real thing? And I mean, I've given the same answer to everybody listening who I have talked to about this, which is my job and Carrie's job is to steward the process and to actually not have a personal or institutional opinion of what's best. So it's hard, because I think Carrie and I both have kind of creative vision for what could be. And we're avid park users. We care about the work. We love living here. Mm-hmm. But our job is the process, really.
Yeah. You know, KPTZ has used surveys. We've used surveys for other things. Will you be sending out some kind of community questionnaire or survey via email or mail?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yes, we will be using surveys as well. Really a lot of different means to get a broad representation, a broad reach out into the community. So those people that don't go to the farmer's market or can't come to a virtual open house or in-person open house, but can read a survey, right? And can, I'll give you an example. I was up at the market last Saturday and signed up 50 people for a distribution list. And I'm starting to collect a distribution list for email so I can send out surveys directly to people that want to be kept in the loop. And so every time we have an open house, a virtual open house, we're at the market, we're just going to collect people's emails and keep them in the loop and make sure that they get all the information they need. And
here's something people could do right now. If someone wants to join the email list, should they mail it to you?
Yeah, they can email me directly at
cityofpt.us.
cityofpt.us. Thank you, John.
Let's also remember, Carrie doesn't make too many errors here. She's been with the city for how long, honestly?
Been 3 months.
Three months. So right into the thick of strategic decision making and process.
We had your planning director on after 4 days. So
Yeah.
Carrie's an old tie. She's an old hand. It's her second visit to bureaucracy now.
Yeah. I think the other thing too, Taylor, to add to that is you know, what we've tried to do, particularly during the pandemic, is to make it very clear for anybody who can use the internet to find the city website at that same URL, www.cityofpt.us. And then on that homepage, you can go to Engage PT.
Oh, yeah.
And much like what Carrie was doing at the farmers market just last week, you know, we want to make sure there's a one-stop shop for information on the things that matter. So this will be one of those things that matter. And you can find information as it's accumulating and as surveys and slide decks and information, they'll show up there on Engage PT.
Okay. Will you be at the farmers market next Saturday?
The city has a booth the last Saturday of every month. Last Saturday of every month, people can come and talk about the golf course.
And first Saturday of every month, you can go and visit the library who's at the farmers market in Port Townsend too.
Did you see our virtual thumbs up came across there? There it is.
Yeah.
There it is again. I love it.
John, let me bring you up to speed with what's going to be going on in the future with Bureaucracy Now, because I am going to be out of town. And I want to assure you that I really enjoy having these discussions, and I'm not stepping back and giving up.
I hope
I will be back, but I am really excited that that a number of members of the KPTZ staff have stepped forward and taken different days. And it's hard because it's live radio and it involves the Zoom session and so I've assured them all, okay, this is a co-hosting situation. You know, John is our co-host. We're sort of in the Ed McMahon role. Yeah, to your Johnny Carson. So next Thursday, Nora Petridge is going to do the board ops, which is the technical stuff. And my favorite city councilor, Monica McHager, is going to be your co-host, John. And I know you have interesting and productive discussions with her, so you get to have one.
Monica who? Sorry?
Yeah. So
I know her as one of the council members, as well as her role as a KPTZ volunteer and board member.
She's a volunteer and board member. She's been my my pitch partner for our fundraising for a number of years. So she actually stepped up and volunteered for this activity.
I'll apologize to her when I see her next,
which will be next Thursday, probably. Phil Andrus is on the 21st. Tim Quackenbush, you remember him.
I do. And I love that.
He'll be on the 28th. And then in August, the 4th, 11th, and the 25th, Missy Nielsen, who is a committed community activist and host of Everybody Can here on KPTZ. She will be the co-host. And Jim Burke, who's here in the studio with me today, will be doing board ops.
Great.
And then on the 18th, Missy is abandoning Jim, and Jim will be your co-host, and he's more the Ed McMahon type.
Jim, I let the thumbs up, keep the thumbs up rolling.
We have Chris Bricker on the on September 1st. Chris is the host of Morning on the Salish, but also does Community Tides and a number of port related activities. So I think you. you may have met Chris. Yeah. And then Phil Andrus will be back on the 8th. The 15th of September, we are still opened. So either my boat will bring me back early, or I'm kind of hoping Tim is available.
Yeah. Well, by that time, I should know how to run the board myself. Right?
Ah, yes. And I want to go on record, since we're here on the radio, that that I have the next time that you and I are in the studio.
Yeah.
We're going to switch roles, and I'd like you to do the board stuff. You did radio in college, I understand.
I did. I think things have changed slightly, even though I can't claim to be ancient. It was long enough ago. I don't remember, and I'm sure things have changed.
Well, yeah, but actually not that much. I also did radio in college. A number of us here did. And so, you know, the board is different, but the board in every station is different. So
yeah.
And we may be in the new station by then.
Hey,
fingers crossed.
Okay.
Fingers crossed. So we will be doing that, John. And but it may be after my return.
Great. Well, I thank you to the KPTZ family. I think just like I love bringing city staff and community leaders on this show, for those who don't listen to each one of those segments that those co-hosts also host on KPTZ, but listen to this, it's a good chance to get to know your station a little bit too.
Yeah. Oh, one other thing I want to mention as we close out here is that if you were just joining us, we've been discussing what's going to perhaps be happening with the golf course and the engagement process that Carrie Height, I keep mispronouncing that, has kicked off. And if you didn't hear the beginning of the discussion, it will be available on our website for streaming as soon as somebody pulls it out of the archive and we get it over to our web poster. So that's true every Thursday we do that. Okay. So with that, I'm going to say, John, thank you for joining us. And I think what we're going to do here, I always like to tell you about this blues thing that we do. And I have to remind myself of what we were going to. We're going to hear a version of "Bring It On Home," which is a song by Willie Dixon, who wrote a lot of great blues tunes. You will probably recognize it because Led Zeppelin covered it in 1969, but this is a version recorded in just the year before, I think, by Sonny Boy Williamson. And the problem with Sonny Boy Williamson is that there's two of them, and they are referred to in the blues canon as Sonny Boy Williamson 1 and Sonny Boy Williamson Roman numeral 2. And the second Sonny Boy Williamson adopted the name. He is neither Sonny nor Boy nor Williamson. Those are none of his names. But he did it because Sonny Boy Williamson 1 died, and he was sort of trying to assume the mantle. So it is sort of interesting. And then there's a bunch of other blues artists that have names which are all permutations of that. And I think there's a game that, you know, you take something from column A and one from column B and one from column C, and you can form your own blues name. And so next time, John, perhaps we should come up with your own blues name. I have to tell you, I don't have one.
That's great. Just a shout out to my co-host in college, Judson Brusgol, who that's a great name for radio. And he was my blues co-host back in the early 90s.
There you go. Okay. So here's Bring It On Home. And Carrie, John, thank you for joining us here on
Thanks,
Right Now.
Thanks for having us.